I'm glad to see all of you here this morning. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, what you are here for the God's glory. We came here to worship and praise His name. Last week, ladies went to the women's ministry seminar. Once they came back, they were really happy and overwhelmed and inspired by God, but they had such a nice weekend. Yesterday, my son called me and said, "Daddy, you know what?" I said, yes, please, son, what are you talking about?" He called me from Walla Walla. "You know, the Mother's Day is approaching." I said, "How nice." "Yes, the Mother's Day is today. It's actually this weekend." I said, "Great. You know what? My birthday and the Mother's Day too." I said, "How nice, son. It's amazing to celebrate this opportunity when we can live for the God's glory and enjoy the beauty which God created for ladies and for men and for the whole world. Today is your Mother's Day. May the Lord richly bless mothers and all the ladies for God's glory. What is actually beauty, and what is the word beautiful stands for? Maybe the stereo is quite beautiful. We had a privilege while we went to Europe just one month ago, and we were in Italy, and while we were there, we just took a picture right under the wisteria. I had no idea in my life anything about wisteria. I never heard, except when they pointed to me and said, "Is it wisteria what you have above your head?" I said, "What is it about, the wisteria?" Beautiful. It's considered one of the most beautiful trees in the world, wisteria. And actually, we really enjoyed our trip to Europe, and we learned a lot over there how we really need to pay attention to the beauty. What is true beauty? What does the beauty stands for? The beautiful, according to the World Book Dictionary, says, delighting the senses by excellence and harmony, and often also giving great pleasure to the mind by the inner goodness. It's quite interesting to notice what in our days we traded beauty for sensuality. Could you notice on this particular statement here? What we are trading, the beauty to sensuality. So often we are comparing and looking at the beauty through the world of feelings, through the sensuality. But in reality, for us, Paul is suggesting what we need to look and live at the life and live life and look at this life and live by the Spirit. And Dr. Luke, Paul's student, writing for us a story about amazing woman by the name Dorcas, Tabitha. What do we know about her? Let's check the Bible and see what the Bible is telling us about Dorcas. Before we'll read this verse, let us pray once again. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we are privileged to be at your church this morning. Help us to study your word and learn a lesson how we need to be a ministers into this world for your glory. Bless all the ladies, bless all the men, and help us enjoy life for you, dear Lord, our merciful Savior. We are praying in your name. Amen. Book of Acts, chapter 9. Book of Acts, chapter 9. How many of you already heard anything about chapter 9 in your life? Book of Acts, chapter 9. Right here by the end of the chapter, we can see the story now in Joppa. There was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated in Greek, is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. It's amazing always to compare for us, as we have a privilege as a Seventh-day Adventist, to have books of spirit of prophecy. And it's always additional great material which we can see quite clear. At the Joppa, Sister White says, which was near Lydda, there lived a woman named Dorcas, whose good deeds had made her greatly beloved. She was a worthy disciple of Jesus, and her life was filled with the acts of kindness. She knew who needed comfortable clothing and who needed sympathy, and she freely ministered to the poor and the sorrowful. Her skillful fingers were more active than her tongue. Interesting, yeah? Yes, we can see quite clearly what this passage in the story of Gospel of Acts in chapter 9 is showing with us the character of God. Michelangelo, he painted his idea about God from his eyes, from his perspective. It's not exactly what the Bible is telling us about. Some people are looking at the nature and admiring God by seeing his hands and his acts even in the clouds or so. And even on this picture, it's called the hand of God. Amazing, maybe, whatever you will see. But in reality, this world is expecting the hands of God through your hands, through your eyes. God wants to use you and me for his glory. Because we are going to talk today about his servants. We are going to talk about Dorcas, Tabitha, and Dorcas, the same individual. We are going to talk about Peter, and we are going to talk about Paul, and about his conversion. Everything in chapter 9. And now, I wanted for you to see the name of Tabitha. It means, in Aramaic, in Hebrew, it means a gazelle. In Dorcas, in Greek, which means antelope, or the same meaning of gazelle, graceful animal. It's amazing to look at the beauty of this animal and see the big brown eyes. And such a nice decoration on the top of her head, yes? Even she attached something special just to draw more attention. But in reality, beautiful gazelle. And now we can see how throughout the whole Old Testament, people are used, and especially God's people, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They considered beauty not simply in the flowers, not simply in the beautiful feelings which we are quite often kind of pointing to, but in reality, they were paid attention so much to the animals and to the real nature world. And right here we can see how Israel is giving the titles or names, or actually he's giving the polite prophecy about his sons. And this is what he's saying about Naphtali is a deer. When he pronounced that name deer, it means gazelle, or it's Tabitha Dorcas. Could you just read in the future all of these names, all of these texts in the Bible, where you will simply add it, Tabitha and Dorcas. Deer, it means Tabitha Dorcas. And he is saying about him, what he running free that gives birth to the lovely fowls. And after that, in Psalm 41, quite a familiar text for all of us. As the deer, it means the same like Tabitha, the same like Dorcas, longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. This is what we are reading right now. It's just little glimpse how they used to call deer on those days in the same way as Tabitha Dorcas, because we are talking about her character. This is a historical glimpse here. Okay, nice to see all of you here. Please welcome to the Puna Church. It's a privilege for us to study the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 2, it says right here what the sons of Zeruah, they considered was as a swift-footed, as one of their gazelles which is on the field. Quite often they used the name of deer or gazelle. Isaiah chapter 35 is sharing with us a powerful statement. Anytime in the future when you will go and visit somebody in the hospital, and maybe you're wondering what you would like to read from the Bible, what you would like to share as an encouraging verse, this is the passage to share good news, to share the good words. It says right here, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with a divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then will the lame, it means the cripple, the person who cannot walk, leap like a deer. What a privilege we have to hear once again the name of Tabitha and Dorcas, what you will be joyful and enjoy life for the God's glory as you will look at the characteristics of the gazelle or Tabitha. According to the Proverbs chapter 5, verse 19, it says, expressive too of tender love. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 9, of beauty of forms. And according to the Psalm 29, it's fruitful through the voice of Jehovah. This is a passage we can easily see and consider what the actual Dr. Luke was trying to describe to all of us, the characteristics about the Dorcas, about the Tabitha. As we know all, as we read the passage, by the end of the chapter 9, we all told two things about Tabitha. She is a disciple, and she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. In the same way, we can see so clear here what she was so passionate about, her work and her business, was her lifestyle. Tabitha is a disciple of Jesus Christ. A couple of times in my little pastoral journey, I heard, you know, Jesus had only male disciples, 12 of them. But in reality, the Bible is saying, well, Jesus, beside the male disciples, had female disciples as well. Tabitha is one of them. Now, Tabitha is not only the female disciple. She is working for the Lord when she is representing the character of God to the whole world and showing how it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be in a real Christian journey. It's amazing what we can hear and see here about the actual her work, because it's quite interesting how she made an influence on the whole town. It's interesting to notice, according to the verse 36, what Tabitha, Dorcas, she had a beautiful home. Dorcas wasn't beautiful because she lived in Joppa, because Joppa means beautiful. The actual town what means beautiful. No, but Joppa was beautiful because Dorcas lived there. Is it true? Yes, this is what the Bible is telling us. But Joppa, the actual town, was beautiful because Dorcas was working there and sharing the character of God with the others. Dorcas lived in Joppa, a town situated on the shore of Mediterranean, about 40 miles northwest of Jerusalem. The biblical town of Joppa is today known as Jaffa. This was the main port of the coast before the Israelites constructed the port of Haifa and Ashdod. The modern city of Tel Aviv was founded on the outskirts of Jaffa in 1909, and today it encompasses the ancient city, Tel Aviv. I made a little research about Tel Aviv. This is how it looks like today, right from the shore, Tel Aviv. What we know more about Tel Aviv in our days, what the population in whole Israel is more than almost 8 million population. What about Jews? It's over 5 million Jews. About Muslims, over 1 million Muslims. What about Arab Christians? 115,000, 26,000 over other Christians, and 126,000 unclassified, according to what the Google is presenting to me here. But in reality, and you can see below here the whole modern city of Tel Aviv, right below here on the screen. Beautiful and huge and big. And I checked about the Seventh-day Adventist in Tel Aviv. More than 5 years ago, I had the privilege while I was working with the Wisconsin Conference, we went to Israel. We went to Jordan area, and we had the privilege right in Jerusalem to visit the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We got acquainted with the pastor, Valentin Novgorodsky, and he shared with me what in reality their membership right now, 11 people. According to the Google, we're still two. Russian-speaking, it's 11. Hebrew-speaking, it's just only two. What about other congregations there? Filipino congregations, 28 people. And they're all speaking English. And we have Ghanaian congregation, 14. Just a little bit there, a little bit here, and it's just only small groups right in the million and among the million and million of the Sabbath keepers. We have only just few people. Let's quickly see about the actual city of Joppa and about the historical sketch which the Bible is telling you and me, who was in Joppa before and when did them actually heard about that name Joppa before. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to what city? Joppa. When he found a ship bound for that port, after paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. quite a familiar story about Jonah. But maybe we are not paying, didn't pay attention enough what he went through the city of Joppa. It was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's mentioned about Joppa once again when Peter was receiving a vision. Peter enjoyed to be at the Simon's, the tanner's house. Tanner's house, usually a tanner who was working with the skin of the animals. Usually they located their homes, some they're closed by the sea because of the smell which they were producing because of their business. They wanted to stay away from the whole entire community. And now Peter, visiting this particular individual, staying in his house, the smell is not bothering Peter at all, and he decided to go upstairs, maybe for the fresh air, I don't know. But the Lord provided for him amazing vision. When Peter upstairs receiving their vision about many animals are coming down, and the Lord is telling him, Peter, you can maybe eat all of these animals. But the whole vision is not about animals. It's about people and relationship with people. Because we know quite clear what right from the beginning of the Bible, the Lord is providing for us information about clean and unclean food. Beside this, the Lord is encouraging us to stay in a healthy diet, with a healthy meal, the healthy food, and the plant-based diet right from the beginning of the Bible. But right here we can see how Peter is not even mixing the idea of the clean and unclean food, but he got a vision quite clear what this is all about, people and our relationship with the people. Everything happening right here in Joppa. And we can see how even in those days they had a practice to have their Ohana groups and small homes. This is happening according to the Acts chapter 12, verse 12, what Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, the same Mark who wrote for us the Gospel of Mark, a young fellow, who used to be a young fellow, went on a missionary journey with Paul and received a lot of training, went on a missionary journey with Peter and received a lot of education with Peter, and writing for us and wrote for us by the inspiration the Gospel of Mark. In his house were many people. They were gathered and they were praying. It was the common tradition how they started their small new churches. When we were living in Uzbekistan, this is how we started, from our own house, the small new church, the small new organization. Right now, in our days, right now it's 140 members in the same city of Navoi in Uzbekistan. But everything started from the home small church, from the home. The Lord wanted to use you and me in an amazing way if you will simply open your heart for the Lord, and after that, the next step, open your house for the God's glory. And this is exactly what Paul is greeting Mary for, who worked very hard for you. This is what he's writing to the Romans in chapter 16, verse 5, while Paul is greeting Mary. Okay, now I would like for you to pay attention to the book of Acts chapter 9. Why in the whole chapter 9, which has never been divided under chapters or on the passages or on the verses which we have in our days, until 11th century, the book of Acts was completely united as one letter and was never used to be divided under chapters or texts or so until the 11th century. Only later on it got divided. And I'm wondering why Paul shared this story with his doctor, Luke, according to the Colossians 4:14, the doctor was Luke, helping and assisting Paul. And he's writing right now for us book of Acts. Why Paul inspired him and shared with him the story about his personal conversion in the same time with the story of Tabitha. Why? And it's amazing to see why even Paul comparing those two stories together. Because we can easily see what Tabitha sharing with us amazing character. You see, she was working hard, and by her acting, by her work, through her fingers, she was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ in an amazing way. In the same way as we learned today, this morning, in our Sabbath school class. By the way, it was a really good Sabbath school class, Brother Adonis. Thank you for leading us into the ministry when we really need to, by practical work, put ourselves in the spot where we can witness about the Lord Jesus Christ through our business. And now we can see what a needle is, a very, very small thing. Needle, yes? Very small. And the ability in nowadays, many ladies are even not using needles anymore. They are kind of lost their ability nowadays. But so far, okay, Dorcas and Tabitha, she used that so diligently every single day, what she especially focused on the needy people, and especially those who were without husbands, the widows. On those days, they had no social security, no support, financial, no physical, no support at all. Without a husband, they often had no source of income. They had no one to protect them or to watch for them or to even help them simply. And the Tabitha Dorcas decided, this is what my mission is going to be. I'm going to help them. And she did. She did, and the best of all our knowledge in the Bible, it says quite clear, what she was working diligently, she was working hard. But from nowhere, the bad news came into the scene here. And this bad information is coming as a shock to all of us as we are reading this passage and the story from Acts chapter 9. The good working lady, Dorcas, Tabitha, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. We might wonder, why God lets good people and faithful people die, especially when it seems like we really need them and they needed to be in this world. And they are such a supportful and helpful. And why God is allowing for them to fall asleep and rest in peace? Why? The earthly life is a time when we can learn and grow. The earthly life when we can love and love. The earthly life when we experience great joy and great joys and also great challenges. I'm really pleased with the Pune Seventh-day Adventist Church to see how you are working diligently as one accord, as one family, and especially as right now you open your church and your hearts to minister to the community, especially on Wednesday nights. From 5 in the evening, from 5:30 or so, you have lectures here, and after that people are receiving food. People are talking about this right now. Even in the radio, I talked to Brother Larry and Bill Church as we discussed about this. We publicly announce about your marvelous work, and may the Lord richly bless you for your ministry which you're doing on Wednesday nights and on Saturday and throughout the whole week. Because this is why we are here for, when we can learn and grow for the God's glory. But although it's happened right here with Tabitha, about the same time when she became sick and died. Nobody expected that. But God wanted to teach a lesson about which we are talking this morning. Tabitha, even though she was a disciple of Jesus, even when she was a good person, became ill and she died. Tabitha's death is not just only about her alone. It is also about the ones left behind. And those people who left behind decided, no, we cannot stand this anymore. God is still in control of life and death. Let's call for Peter, because we heard about marvelous work which God is doing through Peter. And it's happened to be, but Peter was not so far from Joppa on that particular time. It was about 12 miles down to Lydda, 12 miles down. And they decided to send some men to see Peter according to Acts chapter 9, verse 38. And as they approach Peter and ask him, please come at once, please come quickly, without hesitation, Peter came. Peter came to Joppa. When I was visiting in Italy, the beautiful church Santa Maria in Florence, beautiful paintings in the wall over there showing how Peter is resurrecting and helping and uplifting Dorcas Tabitha. Although in the Bible it says, what he sent everybody away. I don't know why in the painting they didn't consider that. He was very lonely and alone over there because he wanted to meet with the Lord only this problem. He wanted to do it personally. He remembered the stories about Jesus, how Jesus raised people to life. Because in Jesus' practice here while he was on this earth, he raised 3 people to life, yes? Altogether in the Bible we have 7 stories. Whole Bible is sharing with us 7 stories how God raised people to life. But although in the New Testament with Jesus, 3 people. One, it's Lazarus. One, it's a young fellow while the procession was going to the cemetery. And as well as a lady too God raised. And Peter remembered all of the stories, especially when the young girl God was raising, that Jesus was raising. He said, "Talipa kumi, I'm telling you, get up. Talipa kumi." And Peter is using amazing words here. When he approached Tabitha, he asked her to get up for the God's glory. Yes, it's a modern paintings in our days how Peter raised Tabitha, but in reality, Peter was sharing the acts of love. It's exactly what are you doing on Wednesday night, on Saturday morning, or during your week life. Because while you're coming to the worship service, our main purpose, why we're existing in this world, we're simply helping somebody to raise him up for the God's glory. Everybody who's coming to the church, we have our needs. We have our problems. What we have while we are coming to the church, maybe we had a stressful week. Maybe we had a not stressful, but challenging week. Maybe we really faced the problems in our life. And now we came to worship. So often we simply wanted to hear maybe the good news from the Lord, and this is it. In the reality, God wanted to use you and me with a special purpose and amazing reason. When you will lift somebody up by the spiritual uplifting, by the inspiration, by personal touch. When you will hug somebody, when you will touch and say, let's pray together and see what the Lord will provide in your life. And because the Lord is telling us, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things which we do not know. Remember that verse? I really would like for my church to remember this verse from Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's exactly what Peter did. He raised you up to life. And even in our days right now, we can see so many paintings in Italy and in Florence and in Rome, how Peter was raising her back to life. In reality, Peter sent everybody away, stood there alone, plead with God, prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, in the same way, Lord Jesus, as you raised people, let me do it for your glory. And Tabitha was alive again. Acts chapter 9. I'm sure what after this little sermon you will remember this story for a long time, because Paul wanted to teach us a lesson. He wanted for us to remember when he dictated and helped Luke to write for us this passage in book chapter 9. He was actually suffering and went through such a severe persecution himself. A few weeks ago, I was sharing with you about Paul, how he was sitting in Mamertine prison. In Rome, Mamertine prison. He wrote the book of Galatians right there and several other books. In the New Testament, we have 13 of the Pauline's epistles, as we call, 13. Beside this, we have a book of Acts and book of Luke. All of those books, by the inspiration from the Holy Spirit, and information came from Paul the Apostle too. Because Luke was not a personal disciple of Jesus. Luke heard all the stories from Paul. And Paul was associating with all the disciples so close after his conversion. And now he's sharing with us the stories after then he was in prison, or after when he was suffered over there so much, and only through this hole he received his food, his water, and no toilets, no bathrooms, no beautiful shower. And he spent over there more than 2 years before he lost his head for the God's glory. Today we are studying about his life. We enjoy Paul's writings, but in reality, he was appealing with the message to the Galatians, to the people in Galatia. He's telling them, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care of for you are not consumed by one another. It means, guys, this is what Paul is crying out. For the God's glory, he's saying, if you would like to survive, if you are still looking forward to see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven, if you would like to spend eternity with him, today is your day. When you need to reconsider your work, your actions, and your lifestyle. He's saying, don't fulfill only your flesh desire. Fulfill God's desire for his glory. Because he remembered that moment when he got converted. And everything begins right here in the book of Acts, chapter 9, right from the beginning. Conversion of Paul. And I wonder why Paul in the world put his story with the Dorcas story together. And I prayed, and I talked to my professor, and openly we came to the conclusion, and our professor shared with all the students, simply the meaning and the much deeper meaning in the chapter 9, why Paul is sharing this story about Tabitha and Dorcas with us? Because Paul used to be Saul, which means with the similar roots of the name Shamuel, Saul, which means God heard. God heard and answered the prayer of my parents. And this is why I was born into this world. It means I am the first one, I am the answer to prayer, I am proud of myself. Paul, the first one. Saul. And he became Paul. The Paul means the smallest, meekest, and the smallest in the family. The last in the family. Paul. He used to be the first, he decided to be the last. Yes, this is how he decided to change his name. Because he decided, oh, I'm completely surrendering my life to Jesus right now. Beside this, Paul was very highly educated. He was sitting by the feet of Gamaliel. He was highly trained. And now he's writing about Tabitha. She's not carrying here the PhD diploma. She's not carrying any other educational background. On those days, ladies never received their formal training. And Paul is trying to share with all of us what I was highly educated and I was walking in my feet and I'm persecuting Christians while I was walking alive physically, but spiritually I was dead completely. Tabitha, she was working with her fingers, it's a small little needle, and announced the good news and the gospel to the whole world about merciful Lord Jesus Christ. Without PhD degree, without any knowledge how to properly preach or speak or prophesy. And it's so obvious what Paul wanted to compare his life to Tabitha's life and to show how highly he was educated and how meekly and humbly we can see amazing work of Tabitha Dorcas. Misunderstanding their salvation over there in Galatia, Paul is crying for them and saying about the freedom which they need to experience only if they will live by the Spirit of the Lord. If they will live in the Spirit of God. And this is why he's saying, we need to preach about this openly. Because Paul suggests to them what they need simply to think about. Because on Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 it says, what God is calling you and me today, he's saying, come, let us reason together. Paul is calling to Galatia, calling to all the first Christians, what we need to always reason and be open-minded with God. For what reason we exist in this world? What is my purpose while I'm living in the Pune area? What is my ministry if I will come to the Pune church? What I'm going to say to my brothers and sisters or to the visitors or to the precious guests? I don't want to leave this church without saying nothing. I would like to do something. And if I will do something, I will do for the God's glory. So far, Paul is telling right now them about Jesus Christ, about his character, and about the freedom which you can receive only if you will be completely dedicated like Tabitha was. So, I became a Christian right at that moment, he said, when Peter was already walking alone and raising Tabitha to life. And now I'm appealing to you, in Galatians, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out a desire of the flesh. So often, we are focused more on our flesh, on our speech, on our acts, and we are missing the point, we are misunderstanding our salvation, and the reason why the Lord has placed us where we are right now, and what we should do for the God's glory. Tabitha is a great example to you and me. On this woman's weekend, I really would like for you to remember Book of Acts, chapter 9, the story of Paul, the story about Peter, and especially the story about Tabitha. She was a disciple of Jesus. She followed Jesus all the way until her death. And God raised her up as a good illustration for all of us what He will raise you today or in the second coming. I don't know. But God knows what He would like to use you, because you are a unique individual in this world. Peter raised Tabitha for God's glory. Today, God wants to raise you and your spiritual senses for His glory, as we will be rededicated once again. And look on these stories in the Bible, how I could put my faith into real practice. Today is your day. God calling for you. He is asking you to do this ministry for His glory, humbly and meekly. He is asking all of us to see in Jesus what He is our friend. He is not a master who is commanding us what to do. He is not there only as the father dictating the family members what is, the regulations and rules are going to be in the family. He is presenting to us amazing character of Tabitha, where He is saying what He is our friend. And He was a friend to Tabitha. And she lived humbly by working for God's people, caring for widows, and sharing the amazing character of God. Right now, it's a time for all of us to praise God through this closing hymn, which we are going to sing in a moment. What a friend we have in Jesus. Before we sing this, let us pray. Oh, our merciful Heavenly Father, thank You for sharing an amazing story about Tabitha Dorcas. Thank You, dear Lord, for sharing a story about Peter and his actions. Thank You, dear Lord, for telling us about conversion of Paul, who used to be Saul, and You changed his life. Change my life, O Lord. Change all of us and help us to have a closer relationship with You, with our amazing friend. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen.